My name's Jim, and I'm an alcoholic.
And
there was actually hope for Marco. And being a real alcoholic, I got to the rooms in 1987, Alcoholics Anonymous. I came up to my first meeting through Cocaine Anonymous because I thought I had a crack problem. I didn't think I had an alcohol problem. You know, and I love the effect of crack cocaine. I call it express elevator to hell. First stop, lingerie department, and I don't know where we're going from there. I can tell you it was not good. 4 days later, I'm coming to with my boxers on, some of his shoes and shirt, wondering what happened to the truck I left with 4 days earlier. And then telling my wife I'll never do it again, and there I am 4 days later again, and it's called insanity. And not understanding what was in this book, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I could not read. I got there when I was 26 years old. I used to have hair like Marco. Now I got a comb over. And this is what happens when you stay sober. And it's good stuff. It really is. And because I would be given a book and not sat down and actually somebody taking me through the book. I would be, all this stuff would happen. And I went in and out for 9 years. I have 30, 60 days over and over again. I'd be sitting in the rooms at the Raptors. I'd go up there because I want to be sober, and I'd be hanging on to the bottom of those chairs, and I would sit there, and I'd get so much of me on me that I had to either go, I wanted to go blow my head off, or I had to drink because I had to escape. And this repeated over and over because I didn't understand what a real alcoholic was, what alcoholism was. You know, and I've had 6 months twice. I've had 9 months twice. I've had 17 months. I've had that 17 months. I thought, if I just get a year. You ever bunker down and you're just taking another day? You're in a meeting, you're going to get another day, and you just get through it. And the next morning, you wake up, and you're going, and then you do it again, and you do it again. And not understanding that what's going on, and Marco talked a little bit about that. But I don't want to go there because I really want to get understanding what it is to be restless and irritable and discontent, even though you're sober and you think sobriety is enough. The sobriety has to start with physical sobriety, but you have to do this work. And I went in and out, and I had that 17 months. I felt like my fingers were in a blob. I remember Ted Summers, one of my many sponsors, gave me my cake, and I felt like my fingers were in a block wall, bleeding just to try to bunker down, just trying to hang on to another day of sobriety. And I picked up to 17 months, and I went out again. And I came back in March 8th of 1993, and something was different. You ever had those prayers? You go, God, just get me home. I'll never do it again. And 3 days later, there you are. That was me, you know. I'd be coming up San Fernando Road at that time. They call it Newhall Avenue today. Coming off the 14th freeway. I just got to get home. I'm almost there. Just get me home. I'm almost there. I'm almost there, you know. And I sat there and always made that same prayer. And what was different in the prayer of March 8th of 1993, of March 8th of 93, was that if I got to the Raptors, I just went to get 60 days. Because I tried to control drinking this time, that the book talks about. You know how you control it? You know, I know how you know a real alcoholic. You know, because, see, I have to work. If I have to work Saturday, I get an 8-ball and a fifth. So I know that. But if I didn't have to work Saturday, it was a quarter ounce and maybe two-fifths. And by Sunday night, I'm hoping my wife's coming home. But, you know, I wasn't no more of that crack. The crack was the problem. I just got to stick with the powder, you know. And I'm locked up in the bathroom. My wife says, have a good time with yourself. I'm taking your daughter and going to my sister's, which is she lives up here. And I'm sitting there. I'm hoping the Suburban's pulling in the driveway on Sunday night because I'm out of everything. I'm coming down. I'm coming down hard. And I know I got to go to work the next day. And then I get, I hear the Suburban coming the driveway, but I'm not even thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about next Friday. Normal people don't think that way. And I didn't even know that was, you know, I thought that was normal. My alcoholic life seemed like the only normal one. And I'm sitting here, and this repeats over and over, man. Try doing that for 6 months. Miserable. Man, whoever wanted to control their drinking? Ugh. You know, I'm trying to get there, you know? And it talks about it, you know, in the doctor's opinion. And I love it when it says, you know, men and women drink abstinently because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so loose. And you know how you take that drink and it goes down and it goes, and you've hit that double shot and it goes down and it burns and you go, that one? Yeah. And then you just like, you know, and then it's on. I can't stop. you know, because the allergy kicks in and I'm on my way. You know, this, and why they admit it's dangerous, they cannot differentiate the truth from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only, it seemed like my only normal one. I just told you that, you know. They are restless, irritable, and discontent unless they find that sense of ease and comfort which comes by taking a few drinks which they see others take with impunity. My wife was a normie. She'd take half a glass of wine and take her 45 minutes to get halfway down. I call that alcohol abuse. I am paying for that. You know, and this happens, and I didn't know what that all meant because I didn't understand what was in this book. You know, I've been told, you know, we'll read this and we'll talk in a couple of weeks. Or, well, you know, I don't have time. I'm going on vacation. Or you need to read this and you need to do this. And it was never sit down. And I want to talk about sponsoring somebody. Sponsoring is the most important thing. I take every word and everything in this book because their life is at stake. If you're a real alcoholic like me, it tells me in the doctor's opinion, I'm hopeless and I'm doomed from my alcoholic death if I don't do this work. There's only one. This is the only one path. And I've been to hell and I never want to go back. And I've lived dry. And my sobriety date's December 7th of 1996. And it means everything. You know, a lot of guys would say, hey, I'm almost 29. I said, you're not 28 still. I'm still 28. How you get 28 years one day at a time? It's not about the years. Years come easy. The days can be a bitch. You know? And I looked through the room tonight. You guys are looking all right, but I haven't looked real close yet. You know, because I got that, you know, that restless, irritable, and discontent still there, just underneath the surface. And if I'm not spiritually fit, I cannot deal with life on life's terms. You know, and it goes on to say, you know, men have cried out in desperation, appeal, doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for, but I can't stop. And that was me. I can't stop. I just get so much of me, and I put that shotgun. I had that shotgun in my mouth in 1987, and I can still taste the steel today because I couldn't get Jim. I can't keep Jim sober. That is the message. I cannot keep Jim sober. My will, as it talks about in Gnostics, my will is marsh, soft, and it's nothing. It talks about it even in here, you know, and I love it. There must admit that we have made little impression upon the problem as a whole. Many of the types do not respond to the ordinary physiological approach. No psychological, no therapist, no nothing. This is only one way, is written in this book, to have that entire psyche change, and by doing the work. There's not writing to do in this book, but other than the four step, the guys I have, that we have to understand and live, and not self-knowledge. It's live this thing and feel it come through my heart. Remember what it talks about, Evie. Bill saw what worked in Evie's heart, what came in. He was on a different route, a different thing. It's not about up here is what got me in trouble. In my heart, I love you. In my head, I might kill you. You know? And being a real alcoholic, because I'm bodily and mentally different than my fellows. You know? And this thing, this woman that I was married to, dealt with my alcoholism. And not knowing, she says, after we got married in 1982, June 5th, she says, you changed. And I said, what do you mean? The alcoholic can't see it. But she was right. And she's been gone for 21 years. She died from cancer. We were married for 21 years, had three beautiful children. And the thing is that there's even in this sobriety, she passed away in 2004. But I'm a guy, you know, and it talks about it. In the thing with it being that restless, irritable, and discontent, I'm looking to fix myself with outside stuff. I'm sober 96. By 99, I'm down at the strip club doing the same behavior, just differently, because I'm not getting loved the way I think I need to be loved. She's not telling me she loves me. I go down to the strip club and I dump $700 for the night because she does a lap dance and everything. When she gets done, she says, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. That's all I needed to hear. I'm in. So remember, my habit was $1,200 a week. Now I'm spending $700 at that strip club. And what's the difference? Nothing. Because it talks about it on page 52, you know, in the book, you know, we had to throw an old gadget, which is an old tool, for something new. Something new, it does work. We have to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. I just shared a little bit about that. We couldn't control our emotional natures. Man, my wife would say something sideways, and I go, pff. You ever be crispy when you're dry? You're just like, you just kind of glow, you know? and you're talking about me, you know? We were a prey of misery and depression. Of course I was miserable. She wasn't doing what I needed her to do. It's spiritual depression. It's not. It looks like clinical depression. You ever had those days you're just thinking about the job you need to get, if you just got to pay the bills, everything, because God's not involved. And Marco talked a little bit about that. You know, we couldn't make a living. I know how to make a living, but I didn't know how to pay the people. I shared this last time I was here in a 10-minute speaker. You know, I was like Pike Pie. I have these guys, this company that's alive today because God's running it and Jim's out of the seat. Thank God. And I've been since 1998, and I bankrupted that company. You've seen that cartoon Pike Pie, you know, and Wimpy comes in, can I get a hamburger today and I'll pay you on Tuesday? That's how I paid my guys. No, I got to take care of me. And this is in sobriety. I couldn't see that I didn't know how to live life on life's terms, you know. As it goes on, we are unhappy. We couldn't seem to be a real help to other people. All I'm doing when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was thinking about you. And if I was thinking about you, it probably had something to do with me. It's always been about me. Selfish and self-centeredness. We were unhappy. Wasn't not our basic solution to these bedevilments more important than watching a newsreel of a lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. I had to find this higher power, and I love the spirit of the universe, because I went to Baptist church in second grade and they told me I was going to go to hell. And I remember sitting in front of that Baptist school, I get hit with a ruler because I couldn't read. Is that why I'm an alcoholic? No, it's not why I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because I have alcoholism. I was restless, irritable, and discontent the day I came out of the thing. My dad gave me the underneath the Christmas tree, I get a brand new train set, and I'm done with it about 2 days later. I'm on to the next thing. I got a new motorcycle. Well, it's not the right one. I got the bigger one. That's the one I want. I'm never happy. I'm just running around trying to fix me with stuff, outside stuff, and never, because it's an inside job. You know, being a real alcoholic, you know. When I became alcoholic, crushed by self-imposed crisis. I love self-imposed. My guys call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they tell me about what's going on. I said, really? And I said, you got your book with you? And we go right to 52. And we go right into thing. You know, because God is not involved. It says, crushed by self-imposed crisis. We could not postpone and evade that. We had to firstly face our proposition. Either God is everything or he's nothing. Either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? Either my higher power has to be connected 24/7 with me. And it tells me that the description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that I'm alcoholic and I cannot manage my life. If I've done the work all the way up to that when I get there, I should understand that. I just told you I can't. I know how to make money, but I don't know how to do the right thing with it. Morals were out. This is the lack of power was my dilemma. I had to be moral, and I had to find, because right and wrong, I didn't know how to live. And I had to have a psychic change, soul, mind, and body. This mind of mine is just it's a crap show. You put caution tape and call it the crime scene up there sometimes, you know. And this disease does not take a day off. You know, and I tell my guys that, you know, that guys I sponsor and one of the women, you know, and that they love when they call me because somebody's not doing it their way. I love it. God's not involved, you know, and I get that. No, we now clock some, so I've learned the most thing by working the steps and living the steps is that there's a lot of grace for all of you everywhere I go, even when I get cut off. And sometimes that gets a little thin. But it works, you know, and because maybe somebody's just having a bad day, something's going on. And I've done that myself, cut something, and I'm not paying attention. And I had a guy the other day, you know, I'm coming over and going to Stepping Stones. I get to 7 a.m., it's dark, and this guy, and I cut on the thing, and I cut right over. I didn't see, I cut him off. Next thing, he's flashing his lights at me. He's taking the thing, and my number for the business is on the side of the car. He calls me up, and I answer my cell phone. I go, hello? You know, you son of a bitch. He goes, wow. I said, bro, have a good day. Click. You know, and then he calls. He says, and he sends me a text. He says, I've taken a picture of your car. I'm going to post you. I said, good. More business. You know, because things happen in life, and I didn't know how to deal with life when things happen. You know, I buried a daughter 5 years ago from this disease because she didn't want to do the work. Turned 25 on June 10th of 2020. Was dead on the 13th. Lived on the streets. Beautiful blonde. Everything to live for, left 2 children behind, And everybody, when I went to the park meeting that day at Central Park, because we had a one at noon and one at five, and everybody said, you must be angry with her. Why would I be angry with somebody dying of an illness like somebody dying of cancer? We like to blow stuff up in people's life. When I touch your life, even being dry, I will blow it up. You know, this is life and death. Because I'm hopeless, and I don't know how to play on the playground. Sometimes I have to take Jim off the playground. My girl works for me. She gets really, she's 30, and I call and I says, you know, I'll start getting a little there, you know. And I was like, you know, I gotta pause right now. I gotta step off. You know, I'm not playing real nice. And she starts laughing. I go, she understands because she knows what I am. You know, because I need to be able to. I have to say it and have to mean it. And I have to say it nice. But being a real alcoholic, you know, because it talks about it, and Marco shared about it, rarely have we seen a person fail. It's thoroughly followed our path. There's only one path. And it even tells you into action after we've done all this work. It says, having made a personal inventory, shall we do about it? I love the question marks. What we have trying to get a new attitude and a new relationship with our Creator, that's, you know, and discover the obstacles and the path. My sponsor always tells me, he says, Jim, you don't, I said, yeah, I drop a pebble in the thing, it's kind of ripple. He says, no, Jim, you drop boulders. There's nothing left. It's just dark. Ouch. You know, you ever had to say sorry for helping somebody? You know, and my daughter, I couldn't help. You know, and my son was at that time was 15. I had to kick her out of the house. You know, I had to ask her to leave, you know, and she didn't want this. I'll never forget her telling me. She was in one of those treatment centers, and she was there for 6 months. She says, you were keeping me here. I says, you could have left any time. Nobody's holding you. You're 18 years old. You know, we can only show you the way home. We can't carry you. We carry the alcoholic. We'll kill an alcoholic. You know, and this thing, you know, and it's hard to watch. I watched the guys, you know, had one the other day. He's sitting there, and he comes and he's walked in, he made it through. He's called me at like 2 o'clock in the morning, calls me back at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he says, Jim, you know, I just don't know if I can make it. I said, dude, just sleep on the bench in front of the stepping stones. We'll be there in the morning. I'll have donut and there'll be free coffee. That's the most I can do for you. And he ended up drinking later, you know, and you can't, you know, and the biggest thing, I have a brother. He came into rooms. I'm sitting in he's in ICU the other day. And he's dying from this disease. He's been on methadone for 25 years. He weighs 400 pounds. And he's trying to just do this, you know, just find that sense of ease and comfort, an easier, softer way, you know. And he's got diabetes and ready to cut his foot off. And he just, you know, he smokes 3 packs of cigarettes a day. He's looking, he couldn't wait to get food in him. And he just, you know, that was me. 2005, I weighed 390 pounds in this sobriety. Because I'm trying to fix with stuff, always trying to fix me, you know. And I had to find this God, you know, because it talks about in step three, made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood Him. I did the third step prayer with my sponsor, but I didn't understand what it meant. We got down on our knees, we did all this thing, I didn't feel nothing. He said, did you feel it? Oh, nope. I'm waiting. And little does it say in page 63, you know, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, to do with me as thy wit. Relieve me of bondage of self. I had to look up bondage. I had to get a dictionary. He always told me, get a dictionary out, Jim. I look at bondage. I say, oh, man, all locked up. That's me. All locked up with me. And it talks about in 62, the alcoholic who is all locked up, you know. And I love this one of my guys get to that point, you know. Whatever our disagreements are, most of us concerned with ourselves and our resentments and our self-pity. Oh, I love self-pity. And it talks about selfishness and self-centeredness, the root of our troubles. We think is driven by 100 forms of fear, 100 forms of self-seeking to get you to see how they wronged me, and that's 100 forms of self-delusion. They're definitely all there. And my favorite, you get you to feel sorry for me just like I feel, is either I'm the victim or I'm victimizing somebody. You know, it's self-pity. I love it. I brew it perfect every time. And God's not involved. You know? So basically our troubles we're all making. Oh, yeah. I didn't think so. Because it tells me that, you know? We think it's more importantly arise out of ourselves. The alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run right, even though he doesn't think so. That's me. And I don't even think so. You know, that woman I was married to for 21 years, this I mean, she didn't put up with my crap. I thank God. She would leave and take the kid and go. She lived life. She was paralyzed from the waist down and married in a wheelchair. She got up every day, worked the work, and you see this lady get up and pull the wheelchair and work for the federal government for 24 and a half years and never have a selfish bone. Always thinking of others. All I was thinking about me. She's actually vacuuming the rug. The house would be clean. She put dirty. I'd get up at midnight and have a glass of water, and there's not a dirty glass in the sink. She says, "You guys need to go to bed so I can have my mommy time." I said, "I understand that today, you know." But I didn't understand what I was putting that lady through. You know, we hurt people here. Good people. You know, people that deserve the best, you know. And if we're not working this program, if I'm not working this program, because this is nothing but experience. Everything I give you is not my opinion. This is my experience out of this book. You know, because it tells you in the first edition, it tells you, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered. Not recovery, recovered. I have recovered. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. From a seamless, hopeless state of mind and body, the alcoholic is to show other alcoholics how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. Show. It didn't say to carry them. It says to show. We show them. You know? And to hear Marco tonight, to know and watch him work with the men that he worked with and to carry the message for, because, you know, I've tried to carry the load. I can't carry the load. God can. But we show them. And when they don't want to work, we move on to the next one. And we move on to the next one. One of my favorite panels is Tarzana Treatment Center up here, second Thursday of every month. And it's one of my favorite places to go. I have like six panels. I have Skid Row down there and Midnight Mission. Another favorite one. You get to come in there and they do the COVID test, and you get to go in, and you see them, and by when you're leaving, they're all sleeping. They're inside the mission because they want a safe place to sleep. They actually let them come in and sleep around there. And then the ones that are on the street's alive, you know. Last time we had one guy walking down the middle of the street, no pants on, no nothing. I was like, and a man goes, "Wow, it's real down here." I go, "Yeah, it's real." You know? And another girl, we pull in, and she's trying to sell herself right there, going down into the mission. I mean, that's just life. The problem is with that life, it looks comfortable to me, being a real alcoholic. No problems, no things. But, man, those cold nights can be cold, you know, and I'm so grateful that I have a home to go home to. You know, being a real, the real alcoholic, and I always want to say the real alcoholic because I didn't know what a real alcoholic was when I got here. I just thought I was a person that drank too much, just like Marco shared. And that was the thing, is to get the guys in the book and understand that we're hopeless, we're doomed. With me, there's no way. There's only this or nothing. Because it talks about in Gnostics, I had a meeting yesterday, and it talks about it. It says, to one who feels that the atheist or Gnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but continue as he is means disaster, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death, or to live spiritual basis, or are not always easy alternatives to face, you know? Do I want to live this way one day at a time? Do I roll on my knees every morning? In 28 years, I've never missed a day on my knees, thanking God for my life and my sobriety and this sobriety. Because when he took that obsession from me, I never felt anything like that in my life. I've sat in those chairs, I've held on for, bunkered down for another day, and when he took that obsession, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm free. Because it tells me I'm going to know a new freedom and a new happiness and the promises. You know, and the happiness and the thing is to see others, to see them grow amongst me. You know, it talks about on page 89, you know, there's nothing better, you know, the newcomer. And the friends, I have real friends in these rooms. You know, the friends I had when I ran out of crack cocaine and out of powder, you know, they asked me if I had a home to go home to 4 days later. I said, really? And you know what? It was really nice about them. They check on me. I remember I leave on Monday. They're calling me on Thursday. Hey, Jim, you're going to come by tomorrow because they know I got a paycheck. And I never could see that. I thought that was just really nice of them. That's how extreme self-will run right I am. I can't even see that. They're just making sure that $1,200 paycheck and the house is in foreclosure, everything's a disaster, everything's falling apart. If you have my life, you drink too. You know? And little do I, what's real today is that I'm not running my life anymore. You know, it says that that probably no human power would leave my alcoholism. And it says, see that God could and would if he were sought. You know, and I'm going to back up a little bit up into here. This is one of my favorite pages, and you have to change it. And it talks about it, you know. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. I begin to think that life doesn't treat me right. I decide to exert myself more. I become, on the next occasion, still more demanding, more gracious as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit me. Admitting I may somewhat be at fault, I am sure that others are more to blame. I become angry, indulgent, self-pitying. Whatever his my basic troubles is, I'm not really the self-seeker, and even when trying to be kind, am I not the victim of delusion that if I can only wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world, only if I manage well? That's me. If I could just manage everything. I have no business managing anything. If I've done this work and understand it, I have no business managing anything. You know, because and I love it. It goes, you know, and always at the bottom, is I not even at the best moments of the producer of confusion rather than harmony? That's me. That is my experience of Jim. You know, and being, you know, because it says being convinced we were at step three. You know, I didn't understand step three. You know, I thought I did step three and we were good. You know, and I said, you know, if there's three frogs on a log and one frog decides to jump, it makes a decision to jump. How many frogs are on the log? Still three. Because all it is, and it says on the next page, which was attempted. It says we launched on a course of vigorous action. I love my guys. He says, well, let me think about it. I said, what part does it say think about on the bottom of page 63? You know, I'm busy today. I bet you are. Yeah. This is the first step, which is personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. Though the decision was vital and critical step, it could have very little permanent effect unless once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of these things that have in ourselves which have been blocking us. And here we're talking about blocking the path. You know, but just talking about step three right there, it has very little effect. You can sit there, I made a decision. Me and God are good. I like these people come in and they share in the meeting. Okay, that scares me. It's because, hey, step one, two, and three every day. How's that working for you? So you made a decision. That's all you did. And everything else, you're running the show. Or you make that decision and everything, and you get off your knees. And I had one of them, he called me 5 hours later after we did the third step prayer. He's already in a self-imposed crisis. I says, where's God? What? You know. And I had to get rid of that. I didn't know that I was, the pride, you know, I love pride. And you look it up in the 12 and 12, and I looked it up in the dictionary. It says, self-love. I says, oh, that makes perfect sense. It's always been about me, you know. And so the event to all the rest of them, you know, lust, anger, greed, you know, all this stuff that's been, I've taken to block bottom levels. I talked a little bit about lust, you know, going down to the strip club. I mean, I talked about, you know, security. I don't got time to go to a meeting today. I got to work. Wow, forgot what got it good. Every morning, I'm in one to two meetings a day, and I have a place that I get to go to work. You know what? God seems to take care of everything. The bills are paid. Everything's good. Until I start thinking about my life. Wow. I'm in trouble now, you know? And that's the thing, is because I can't see how good I have it, but then I'll think about it. And that's what this thing is up here. And if God's not involved in that, because I love to live in a self-imposed crisis, you know? But, you know, doing this fourth step for me was, it's like seeing that woman that I hurt. And she was the most kindest hearted, you know? That father. You know, I sit there and I remember him in 2000, after my wife passed away, jacking me up. I needed to borrow another $6,000. Remember, I don't pay this man back. He has books. And I pay him every week now, but he says, you'll never be paid till the day I die. I said, wow, every week. Because he owned that business and before, and I took over in 98 and I bankrupted it, and he never did. But, you know, I'll never forget, I walked in and asked for $6,000, and I wish he didn't say what he said when I was done. He said no, and that's the first time he's ever said no. And you know, the quality of your yes if you can't say no. What's the quality of your yes if you can't say no? He said no. And I told him, well, this is going to happen. I'm going to lose the house, and this is going to go on the business list. And he jacked me up right in the corner. This is a normie. My dad, he's 88 today. He jacks me up in the corner. And he says, this is your crap, not mine. You put yourself here. And I said, wow. I walked out and I stormed out because, you know, it's all about me. And I got to the truck and I had that clarity. And I said, wow, he's right. Walked in, back in. I wish he didn't say what he said next after I told him I apologized. He says, okay, I'll loan you the money. I wish he didn't. The best day of my life is that man ran out of money because I had Jim had to grow up. I had to take responsibility. Remember, I said, I don't know how to make a living and talked in the bedevilments. I don't know how to just to be a worker amongst workers, a brother amongst brothers and sisters, to be part of society, do the right thing, because I'm not moral. I wasn't moral. I need this God in order to be moral. I had to have an entire psychic change. The way I look at things is twisted. I look at things and they look normal until God, and then when I really did this fourth step, I got to see that. This is a guy running his life. It needs to get out of the way. And that fifth step, that God needs to be involved. And then in 6 and 7, humility is my friend. I had to pull, when it talks about in the fourth step, I had to pull out of that thing. And this is a guy that needed to pull out of that, destruct everything and put something new. And that was a higher power, this God I was starting to learn how to do business with. You know, in 5, when I did that with my sponsor and I couldn't understand, and he stopped me at step 7. He says, you're not getting it. And I go, wow. And he was right. There was no humility. I was still trying to run the show. And true humility is knowing what I am and knowing what I'm not. And he always tells me, when you stop digging, Jim, you'll start healing. You know, because doing the same thing, expecting different results never works out. You know, and today, being it's all I ever wanted. You know, imagine You're 5 years old. I had my first drink. I had my first blackout when I was 11. I just wanted to escape me. I go to school. I want to be you. I didn't want to be me. Today I want to be me. I don't want to be anybody else. I actually love Jim. He's a piece of work sometimes, but we get along. Hanging out with Jim on the couch for a couple hours is a long time sometimes, you know. And but, you know, just I love the men who have come before me and show me the way. And more than anything, I love this book, not any other book, because a lot of people will get into the other book or get into that book. We do see where religious people write, but this is the design how to live. This is the design that tells me right there, and it tells me, I love this guy, and Rosenhazard, and he talks about it, you know, and Dr. Young tells him, you know, says, upon hearing this, my friend was somewhat relieved. For he reflected, after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctor telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. How do you have this? And it tells me in Bill's story, you know, it goes on back. And how do I enlarge my spiritual life? You think you go to church, right? And you do more praying, right? You do all that. And it doesn't work that way, because it tells me right on the bottom here. It says, my friend emphasized an absolute necessary demonstrating these principles in all our affairs, particularly imperative to work with others as he worked with me. Faith without work was dead, he said. And how appalling true, for the alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through this work of self-sacrifice for others. He could not survive the certain trials and low spots. That means the good times and the bad times. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. If he drank again, he would surely die. And then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it's just like that. It's just like that. And I didn't understand that. When I see like this one right here, and I seen the eyes change, this man was pissed. And I watched the eyes change, and I watched the smile come, and you see that, and you go, whoa. Because they did the work. There's nothing like that. I can't do that for you. But you doing the work, and I see that change, showing you the way how we did this design of living. You know, and the other guy, one guy I have a sponsor, he's a doctor, and we call him Iceman. you know, for a reason, trust me. And, yeah, you wouldn't want to have him operate on you. And, you know, but he actually a good guy. But, it, you know, you get this, and I watched the change in that when he went through one of those places. He went through three rehabs, DUIs, wrecked a car, hurt somebody. And he just took over your cake, you know. And another one, I think this guy, really good guy, 50, but I watched the squirrel. He had five hamster wheels going. He could be talking to you and doing something else. I mean, he's down to two now, so we're doing better, you know. And but you get to see the change. Because I in every one of them I sponsor, I see me in them, my experience. And I have, you know, in the toolbox that I have that God gave me this experience of that not what to do anymore and how I can help. Because there's nothing like that in seeing somebody pick up their bed and walk again. And the book talks about that, you know. And it goes on, you know, and it says, you know, it says, it goes on. My wife and I abandoned ourselves to helping others, alcoholics, with their problem. And it was fortunate for our old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half. During that time, I found little work. I was not well at the time. And plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. Wow. But he goes on and gives you the rest of the thing. It says that this is something that nearly drove me back to drink. But soon I found when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I've gone to the old hospital in despair, and talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up on my feet and set back on my feet. It was a design for living that works in rough going. And man, I couldn't wrap my head around that when my sponsor told me. I said, really? I'm thinking about me. I need to go to work. I ain't got time for this. And it actually worked. 3 years ago, the business failed almost one more time. And I put myself more into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I started going up and I took more panels on. And I started doing this work even harder. And I would still show up there and I was doing with it. We ended up moving to business. And all of a sudden, everything started changing down there. And I can't tell you, like I told you, when he took the obsession from me, it was the same thing happening again. And I watched things change, and that place is successful today. And all I did was go help another alcoholic, because when I'm thinking about me, I can't be a real service to anything, or even the business, because I'm sitting there living in misery and depression, because things aren't going my way. I'm spiritually sick at that moment. I'm not trusting my higher power. It says, it tells me on page 68, you know, it was hard for me to wrap my head around this, and it talks about it. We never apologize to our depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spiritualize away weakness. Paradoxically, it's a way of strength. The verdict of ages that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. They never apologize for God. Instead, they let Him demonstrate through us what He can do and ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention where He would have us be. If I would have sat there and sat on that couch and felt sorry and everything was falling apart, it would have gone exactly the way it was going to go. But putting the work here, still showing up down there, and it was weird how things started showing up. The money showed up where it needed to go. It moved the whole place. We got to go to a better place, and we got to be and the rent went down. Everything came into place. And there's guys that have been there. One guy's been there since 78. Another guy's been since 1985. We grew up together. And I got to watch that place come back to life. And I watched the people there and they got rid of some problem people that, you know, just didn't really want to be there. You never had one of those meth heads that are painting for you and they're in the back and they're sleeping on the floor. I understand that guy. But he didn't want to do the work. And God took care of that. That man got fired. And because when you have, it talks about it, that you can't save one that you could save the many. You know, and one gets in the way. But today, being a real alcoholic, I was always the problem. And I tell my guys, you know, because if you have to explain it, rationalize it, or defend it, you're wrong. Because you never have to explain, rationalize, or justify anything. You know, because that means I'm trying to get you to see something that I talked about on page 62 there. You know, it's always about me and basically my own problem. I've always been the problem. Self will kill me. And I love what it says on page, you know, on the third step. It sounds really good, right? Says it goes on to say on 62, this is how and why. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided to hear the drama of life. God was going to be the director. Wow. if I really take a hard look at me, the way I directed things, I need to get out of the driver's seat, you know. And me and one of my guys call me, I said, was God involved? Because remember, you turned your will and your life right to care of God. We made a decision. You know, but if you're new, or if you got time, I had time, and I was dry for 12 years because I didn't understand what was in this book. I was walking through people's life. I didn't even want what I had. And my sponsor asked me, he goes, you know, I asked him to sponsor me in 2010. And he goes, and I never missed a day on my knees. He says, what's your prayer? I says, I told him, I thank God for my life and my sobriety, and everything I want for myself, I want for you. And I can't use profanity here. And he said, who would want what you got? And it made perfect sense. You know, and actually that really hurt, if you want to know the truth. I didn't even want what I had. I'd always have to have somebody with me. Today, I can be with me because I'm not alone. I'm with God. Everywhere I go, he's there. You know, even coming out here tonight to be with you people tonight, this is a privilege, you know, to be able to give back what was so freely given to me. And being a real alcoholic, you know, if you don't know what a real alcoholic is, get into the doctor. Get somebody who's going to take you word by word so you understand what you are. And get a dictionary. You know how I boxed with a dictionary with my sponsor? He says, where's your dictionary? Where's your dictionary? And I have dictionaries. There's one in the, you know, and there's a book in every car. I have a book in my truck. I have a book in my Harley. I got a book in the Honda where I work out of. And I have a book everywhere. There's no excuse. To save my life. Why would I want to have not something that is designed for living, which showed me a way of life? Because this is the only vital thing, and this is my, because I want to live today. And not everybody wants to be, and it says on page 25, you know, not everybody wants to get sober. Only so many of us want this. And you can only help the ones that want it. And with that, thank you.